Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message. I am Teresa Levite, a member of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. Do you have your pencil and paper ready to take notes for today's message? I hope you have a journal that you use for Bible study, prayer, and spiritual growth. It doesn't have to be fancy. A simple notebook will work. If you don't have your pencil and paper ready now, you can listen to this message again on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. Before we begin, let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to you today, I pray, Lord, for your mercy and grace to be poured out on us. Lord, fill us with your love, mercy, and grace so that it overflows and spills out onto all around us. Lord, I know you have a plan for us. I know you have a plan for me. Our church, as a congregation and as individuals, we're all created for a purpose. I pray, Lord, that we will recognize this and step up to take our place in your plans. Lord, use us today for your will, for your plans. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we began a study of Joshua. Joshua is often considered a type of Jesus. This means that Joshua had many of the same characteristics as Jesus, but obviously not all of Jesus' characteristics. Joshua was an Israelite, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua was considered to be an assistant of Moses, his right-hand man. He was one of the 12 scouts sent into the Promised Land, and one of the two who gave a good report, not backing down when the others started whining about the giants. Last week, also, we learned Moses was denied entry into the Promised Land when he struck a rock with his staff for water for the Israelites. He responded to the people in anger instead of being obedient to God. God then told Moses he and Aaron would never enter the Promised Land. Shortly after this, Moses requested passage into the Promised Land through the lands of Edom and was denied, and then Aaron died. Let's back up a bit before that, though, and pick up with Joshua again just after they return from the scouting trip to the Promised Land. In this passage, Moses and God were chatting. This first paragraph is Moses speaking to God. Numbers, chapter 14, verses 17 through 45. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on earth to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to. He and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites, so tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more, who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness, until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land, were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh survived. When Moses reported this to all the Israelites, they mourned bitterly. Early the next morning they set out for the highest point in the hill country, saying, "Now we are ready to go up to the land the Lord promised. Surely we have sinned." But Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword." Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's Covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites, who lived in that hill country, came down and attacked and beat them down all the way to Hormah. This was a long passage, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to keep it all one continuous story. The people here just aren't listening. God forgave them for their rebellion, but there are still more consequences. I think I've talked to you before about there always being consequences for your actions. Let's go over this again real quick for those who may have missed it. There will always be consequences for your actions. There will always be a judgment. The first, most common judgment is natural consequences. This happens when a baby touches a hot stove. This is also what happens when you're speeding in the car and have an accident. It may mean you've just totaled your car and it's going to be expensive to replace the car. Or it could mean that someone else was involved in that crash that you just caused and has died. These are all natural consequences, or natural judgments. The second is the judgment that's imposed by man, man-made consequences or laws. In this case, it is the law. Beating is illegal. If caught, you can receive a ticket and all the consequences that go along with that, including vehicular homicide or manslaughter charges if someone dies in the accident that happened while you were speeding. And the third is the judgment of God. God does forgive, but he is also a just God, and there will be a judgment. There will always be consequences for your behavior. Even if you think that no one has seen, God always knows. You cannot escape God's judgment. And that's what happened here. 10 of the 12 who made bad reports and made the people turn against God were struck down by a plague. Only Caleb and Joshua survived. And the people had their own problems. They doubted and rebelled against God. Because of their rebellion, the Israelites would never see the Promised Land. They would wander the desert, and everyone over the age of 20 would die before the Israelites crossed over into the land God had promised them. Even after God told them of this consequence of their behavior and gave them specific directions, they still wanted to do things their way, going where they wanted, and they were attacked. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. That sounds like a pretty bad beating. Okay, let's go on. Joshua to succeed Moses. Numbers chapter 27 verses 12 through 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters of the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin." Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them. One who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar, the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before God. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the whole assembly. Then he laid hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. Moses put great trust in Joshua, and God did too. God knew that after Aaron's death, Moses needed someone. The people needed someone to lead them into the Promised Land, and that someone was Joshua. We have another long passage coming up, so please bear with me. Joshua to succeed Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 1 through 29. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. "I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross the Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will also cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Public reading of the law, verse 9. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the Levitical priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, At the end of every 7 years, in the years for canceling debt, during the Festival of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Israel's rebellion predicted. Verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, Now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourself at the tent of meeting, where I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. Then the Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance to the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, You are going to rest with your ancestors, and these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. And in that day I will become angry with them and forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and calamities will come on them, and in that day they will ask, Have not these disasters come on us because our God is not with us? And I will certainly hide my face in that day because of all their wickedness in turning to other gods. Now write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it, so that it may be a witness for me against them. When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their ancestors, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And when many disasters and calamities come on them, this song will testify against them, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know what they are disposed to do, even before I bring them into the land I promised them on oath. So Moses wrote down this song that day and taught it to the Israelites. The Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun. Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. After Moses finished writing in a book the words of the law from beginning to end, he gave this command to the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Take this book of law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. There it will remain as witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you have been rebellious against the Lord while I am still alive and with you, how much more will you rebel after I die? Assemble before me all the elders of your tribe and all your officials, so that I can speak these words in their hearing and call the heavens and the earth to testify against them. For I know that after my death you are sure to become utterly corrupt and to turn away from what I have commanded you to do. In days to come, disaster will fall on you because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord and arouse His anger by what your hands have made." We are going to stop here for today and then pick up with Moses' song next week. And now it is time for the bonus topic. I debated on whether or not to include a bonus topic this week, and I'm still not sure. But here we go. A couple of weeks ago, I heard the song, "Fill My Cup, Lord," and then I heard it again. And that was enough. I knew it had a meaning for me. The lyrics of the first verse and the chorus are, and I'm not going to try to sing this, I know better than that, but here we go. "Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, 'Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole." There are so many people in the world who are seeking, looking for something to satisfy a longing, but they are just not finding it. This could be someone who just isn't happy, or someone who is angry. It could be a friend, family member, or neighbor with an addiction. It could be the workaholic, going into work early and staying late. Or maybe it's the shopper, the one who knows where all the best deals are and where to find what. Maybe it's the one who loves to eat. Food brings them comfort, but it doesn't satisfy them. It could be any number of things that people are seeking, and they're not satisfied. But there is something that can satisfy. The words of the song say, "My Savior said, 'Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.'" Yes, He can fill our cups. He can fill them to overflowing. That thirst can be quenched, and that hunger can be satisfied. You just have to ask. You just have to go to the well and draw the water. When you're hurting, when you're empty, when you find yourself trying to find satisfaction where there is none, you can go to Jesus. And when you see your neighbor hurting, just like you, give them a hand, help them out, be a friend, and share Jesus with them. And now, let's close with prayer. Dear Father, I thank You, Lord, for the time we have to study Your Word today. Lord, fill my cup. Fill it up to overflowing. There is so much hurting in the world. Lord, fill our cups to overflowing so that we can share in the water from the well, the word of Jesus. Lord, help us. Help me to be more like You. Help us to be strong and courageous. Give us strength and guidance. Give us peace and comfort and assurance. Let us hear Your voice and be obedient to You. I love You, Lord, and I thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And this is the point that each week I say, if you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't want this to become ritual or routine for this message. But this is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. So I will say this again. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become a part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home, but whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our leaders. Thank you for listening to today's message. I hope that this message has become a part of your weekly Bible study. If there's something in this message that speaks to you, please share this with your friends and family. They might benefit from it too. You are invited to join us each Sunday morning at Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. We are located at 1735 South Washington Street in Tilton. If you would like more information or to speak to one of our leaders, call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Our Sunday school program begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service and children's church are at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.